Not many announcements to be made. We are going to have a work day Tuesday at Sister Ernestine's if there's no rain. But I'm contradicting myself or in limbo because I've been praying to the Lord for rain. And then we might be working in the rain, but that's okay. If it's not, that day doesn't happen, I'll contact you if you're willing to come and work. We're getting closer to getting finished, so we need to get that taken care of. Also, we're going to pray over the shoebox and shoebox ministry this morning as we end our announcements in prayer. So if you want to come up here and be around those, if you brought boxes and you want to be up here around those, that's good. You can come on up and we'll have prayer. Any other announcements to be made? No service tonight. You can be with your fathers and or grandfathers or your spouses, whichever. But just have a blessed day, fathers. Happy Father's Day. And may it be a blessed day, not because we're good, but because the Lord's going to bless it. And He does provisions. We just get to receive the blessings, don't we? So, with that said, we'll pray over the boxes and have corporate prayer. So if you want to come up, you can. If you doubt, that's okay.
Can you hear me? Okay, cool. So, as you guys might notice, we're not Ken, so it's going to be different this morning. So we're just going to sing songs. We're still going to sing normal songs. We're going to, but yeah. Okay, we'll just start. First song we're singing is Who You Say I Am, which is kind of a new one, but it's pretty good. Right, you ready?
Yeah. Who am I that the highest king would welcome me? I was lost, but He brought me in. His love for me, oh, His love for me. Through the sun sets free, oh, it's free indeed. I'm a child. Ransom me, His grace. to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, he died for me.
Congregationals. So the first congregational is All Flower, which is an oldie but a goodie. And so if you all please stand, we'll sing this one together. I'm out of tune. Anyway.
All right. So. Some glad morning when this life is over.
Is another oldie, but also a goodie. And it's Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. So let's sing that one. Oh, hold on. Look at you. Yeah, look at this.
Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? The light in the darkness you see. There's life for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. His word shall not fail you, He promised. Believe Him and all will be to tell.
You may be seated. Now we're going to sing special. Tell when you got it.
Okay.
Okay. So, it is Father's Day. And this is a shout out to all the fathers, but also, most importantly, our Heavenly Father. And so we thought for today we would sing a song called Run to the Father, which I thought would be pretty fitting. Actually, Maddie thought it would be pretty fitting. I won't take credit for that. This is her pick. Anyway, so let's just get into it. Okay.
I'll give to let it all go. I see it now. I'm laying it down, and I know that I need you. Run to the Father, fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon. Chest, mercy is calling. as I am, you pull me in. I know that I need you now. I run to the Father, fall into grace, done with the hiding, the reason away. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend. I run to the Father again and again. I run to the Father, I fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart found a surgeon, my soul found a friend. So I run to the Father again.
You did say it's Father's Day, right?
Yes,
I heard you say that. Okay. I want you to do that first one again. And I want all of us to sing together with that one, okay?
Which one?
The first one. The first one you did. The one I came in late on.
Who's there?
Yep. Yeah. Okay. And then I want to tell you this. I love y'all. I'm not being a good daddy. But if I've ever done anything close to right, it's both of y'all. And I'm sorry that I've not been a good daddy to you, but I love y'all. All right, let's sing. Here. And if you can't stand, and if you can't, do it anyway. No,
who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but He brought me in. Oh, His love for me. Oh, His love. Child of God, yes, I
good job, even if y'all are mine.
All right, it's time for children's church. So if you would go into that this morning, go ahead. And if you want to, just take some time to say hello to those that are around you this morning and tell them it's good to be with them. Full circle, but as you're turning to 1 Corinthians 13 or 16 and 1 Samuel 4, do we have any words of praise or testimony today?
Nancy's back. Amen. That's it. Yeah. And we very easily could have been somewhere else, couldn't we, brother? Could have been somewhere else. Thank you, Brother Danny. Anyone else? How long did it set him back? That's what I was saying. I thought, I bet you could have seen through them tires, though. I mean, that just, no, he's good about keeping his stuff up. He is. Anyone else got a word of praise or testimony?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Amen. And let them know that we're praying for both of them, keeping them in our prayer needs or our prayers. Anyone else? It is Father's Day, and I want to say happy Father's Day to all of you. And I didn't do this year with the mothers, but again, we'll be in 1 Corinthians and 1 Samuel. Who's got the most children? Anybody in here got five youngins? They don't have to be here, but if you have five. Any more than five, six youngins? All righty, let's give them a round of applause today. All right. Who's the oldest daddy in here? Do we have 75? 76? So y'all got to share this clap, okay? Let's give y'all a clap, okay? And this was what was so wonderful this week to see is I think there was one night that we had four babies under about a year old in the nursery, and that's, praise God, the future is now for Thomas Village Baptist Church, really. God has blessed us so much. So, Logan, how old are you? 25. Anybody younger than that? Praise God. Logan, we're thankful for you, man. We're thankful for you. But, again, if you're watching by Facebook or the radio, we want to tell you happy Father's Day as well and pray that you be blessed today and with memories and with joy and just a time of remembering and celebrating the role of a father. Today I want to talk to you about, and next Sunday I'll have the purple beard, okay? I've got to wear a purple beard because the girls beat the boys in VBS. I think it was attendance, am I correct? Well, how many? 42 to 45? 85 to 83. I mean, surely we could find another man around here that we could throw in there, right? But we're thankful and had a great week. But today, if I had a title for a message, it would be, In a Time of Pretending, Men, We Have to Quit. We just got to quit. If you would stand with me in honor of God's Word, I'll be beginning over in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Now, I'll be beginning in verse 10 and reading all the way down to verse 17. But our main focus today will be 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13, and 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 9. If you're in 1 Corinthians 16, say amen. Amen. All right. Verse 10. Now if Timotheus come, see that he may be with you or without fear. For he worketh the work of the Lord, as do I also. Let no man therefore despise him, but conduct him forth in peace, that he may come unto me, for I look for him with the brethren. As touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desire him to come unto you with the brethren. But his will was not to come at all. His will was not at all to come at this time, but he will come when he shall have convenient timing. Watch ye, this is our verse. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Let all your things be done with charity. I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. I think that's the only place in the Bible that the word addicted is used. Verse 16, that ye submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helps with us and labors. I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunus and Achaeus, for that which was lacking in your part, they have supplied. And now let's flip over to 1 Samuel chapter 4. Just one verse there. 1 Samuel chapter 4, when you're there, say verse 9. Amen? All right. Be strong and quit yourselves like men. O ye Philistines, be ye not servants unto the Hebrews, as they have been to you. Quit yourself like men and fight. You may be seated. In a time of pretending, men, let's just quit. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for those that have gathered. Lord, I thank you for the beauty and the nature, Heavenly Father, Lord. I'm thankful, Lord, for just the, even in our, I know, Lord, there's a spirit, we're tired today. Our physical being, our emotional and spiritual parts, Lord, it's been a long week, but a good week. But Heavenly Father, Lord, even in that, there is a joy in knowing that we are a child of the King. That you have called us, you've equipped us, you're even carrying us when we can't even go. So God, today I ask you to forgive me of my sins and my failures. God, I pray you let us right now just lock the world outside. Holy Spirit, let us worship you, Father God, in spirit and in truth. And Lord, if there be one today that feels like they're being condemned, Lord, one that's feeling like they have no value or worth, if there's someone here today, Lord, that Lord, just needs a friend and a Savior, let today be that day. I give you all the glory, honor, and praise, and it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Now again, I want to read verses over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong, and let all your things be done with charity. This morning, as I was looking ahead, beginning about Thursday on to today, I could tell just by myself and as we were looking at VBS what a great day it had been and what a good week it had been, but people were getting tired. You know, it's been a long time since we've had a five-day VBS, and even then, when we were used to it, we got tired, much less not doing it in a while. But it marks a point to where we've got back to at least the standard, what the standard was before. Now, we can't compare post-COVID to pre-COVID anymore. We're in a different reality, and things are vastly new. I don't like the normal that we're living in now, but it is what it is. And we've got to learn to serve Jesus by serving others in this new reality. But I want to start off by saying thank you, everybody that had a part in this. I know you put time, effort, you put energy, and praise God, when you get to heaven, at least three souls, God is going to say, well done, because you made an effort in those souls, and your time, sweat, and tears made a difference in their life. But if you don't remember what it was, all of us probably could. Let's do it. Can you do the theme verse with me? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Therefore, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. That's what I've loved about the curriculum this week, is that it's focused on Scripture. It's focused on truth. And it was the keepers of the kingdom the king's warriors and the weapons that he has supplied us. It was the armor of God, Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. Like I said, there were, I was praying for five. This happened 3 months ago. God put this on my heart, and I'm going to talk to you a little bit about it. But we didn't get five. No, we don't know if we got five. We know we got three, but we don't know what might have happened in the hearts and minds of little children. But as we continued to move on into the week, I kept praying, God, let us just see souls come to you. Let us see lives changed. And as I got to talk to some other teachers, they were telling me about how, well, this one didn't make a decision, but I could tell this one specific issue or topic, it affected them. And as I went through the week, God began to remind me of some things. In March chapter 5, oh, excuse me, March don't got a chapter, I don't think. But on March 5th of 2023, I preached a sermon entitled, How is Your Devotion to Church? How is your devotion to church? And we were, at that time, we were getting a little influx. You know, our numbers were up. We were seeing things build up. And after the altar call, which I call more like a call to action, Sister Andrea, I had some things on my heart I wanted to talk to her about Vacation Bible School, but I hadn't. And after that service, March 5th, she made this statement that she announced that we were going back to a 5-day model for our Vacation Bible School. And I felt the Holy Spirit tell me that day that we were going to see salvations this year. And while that, also that as the spiritual warfare began to battle and to fight those battles, you could tell while it is not, the Bible says, we don't battle against flesh and blood, but we battle against spiritual beings, spiritual forces. It wears on us physically. It does. While it might not be a physical battle, every week, every day, somebody, I may not know what went on in their lives, but I know somebody tried to make them mad. I know somebody probably cut them off in traffic. I know it would have been easy for them to stay at home than it would be come here. And so, on March 5th as well, speaking about the future and the vision of our church, I made this statement. And I thought I'd worded it wrong at the time. The best life, the best years of Thomas Village Baptist Church as a local body of Christ is soon to come. If we're committed and we're faithfully stay the course, that was the key. I've never said that before. And at that time I thought that staying the course, I had misspoken because in my mind it was like, let's put it on autopilot or let cruise control take over. However, since then, have we seen the battles that are happening and the way that churches are closing? I've realized whether you're blazing new trails, like over in foreign seas or something like that, or if you're just simply trying to walk the old paths, as the Bible says. Both, if you're willing and committed to being faithful in your service, both of them are spiritual battlefields. And you know what? That when we fight those spiritual battles, it's going to affect us emotionally, it's going to affect us spiritually, and it's going to wear us down in every area as well. So, are you tired today? Let me tell you this. It's good that you're tired. You ought to be tired. Do you know that? You've expelled energy this week in the lives of men, women, boys, and girls. And what was the purpose? So that they might be touched by our Creator. Is there anything else to be more thankful that we're tired because of? Really? Really? And you know what? If we're going to see revival, if we're going to see our church grow, guess what? We're going to have to be tired some more. We're going to have to be willing to engage. So you see, spiritual service and ministry will go hand in hand with weariness. Galatians chapter 6, verses 8 through 9, it says this, "For he that soweth to the flesh reaps corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall reap things of everlasting life. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap your reward." Can I tell you, I stayed up here Thursday night till 11 o'clock with men and just talking with them. It was probably 2 o'clock in the morning before I was able to lay down. You know why? It's been a while since we've seen someone get saved in this church. And what did Jesus tell the apostles after he was there with the Samaritan woman at the well? Oh, they said, "You done eat?" He said, "No. I have meat that you know not of." Man, it was just good to sit with Kaylin and those other girls and just go through the Word of God with them and to see them saved. But it's okay to be tired. It's okay to say you're tired. Weariness means weakness, discouraged because of the effort, because of the expense of energy that you've put into it. And so, as I said, the point I'm trying to make, and this is going to bleed right over into you daddies and men, is that if we're willing to make the effort, God will reward it. Amen? But it's going to take a little bit of our energy and a little bit of our sleep and a little bit of our recreation time. In fact, it would be sad if we weren't tired this morning. Do you know that? If we hadn't put enough into it that it did take a little bit out of it. That it did cost us a little something. You know what I mean? Because, hey, you get what you pay for, right? You get out what you put in. And it would be sad if we were rail-rested, had no bags under our eyes, because that might mean that three souls might not have been saved. So I want to say thank you again to each and every one of them. Like the song says, we won't know until we're walking the street of gold on just how much God's allowed us. You see, I don't think He can let us know right now because we'd get too big a head. But when we get there, oh, what a day. So now moving from VBS on and how good God has been, not just in the fact that the Spirit was here and He gave us souls and that He gave us the ability to move on, but you know what? He could have used anything last week. He could have used a donkey, Balaam and his donkey. He could have used rocks. Literally, He could have sent down angels here to run Vacation Bible School at Thomas Village Baptist Church. But in His wisdom, He called us to be a part of it. And so as thinking upon that, He used Thomas Village Baptist Church as His hand to love others, to bring others to Him, but also He used this church as a trophy of His grace and power. Because everywhere now, when those girls talk about where they got saved, where Jesus came into their life, Thomas Village is going to be mentioned. And now, men, husbands, fathers, grandfathers, and so on, and mamas, you can be included, but we're going to focus on the males today. It is past time that we understand and own this truth, that if we're going to see our families on fire for the Lord, if we're going to ever know and experience God-sent Holy Ghost revival, if we will ever see the next generation under us pick up the banner of truth, love, forgiveness, and power, if they're going to do it, then we have to become intentional about fanning their flames. We've got to be intentional about expending energy for our family to be on fire, for our church to see revival, for the next generation to carry the banner. We have to say, this is what I feel that God wants. This is who I am. And if it's going to happen, then God's going to use me in it. If we display our loyalty, love, and forgiveness to God, then we're going to give and invest in the next 40 years. So look at this there in verse 13 of chapter 16. And remember, the title is this: in a time of pretending, men, we need to quit. Watch ye. Now this is the King James Version, and I'm using it intentional because of the word quit here. Watch ye, stand fast in your faith. Quit you like men. Be strong. Let all your things be done with charity. Now here, God probably brought this scripture to my attention back in 2016. I know I've preached it once here, but it's been at least back in 2018, maybe before that, but not in the way we will this morning. Now notice what he's saying. Remember, 1 Corinthians is not about how great the First Baptist Church of Corinth is. Really and truly, I would never name a church Corinth. That's just me. With the stuff that was going on in there, no, I don't even want that name close to it. You remember, they were suing one another. There was backbiting. They were the upper class eating all the food before the working class could get to the Lord's Supper. And there was some sexual immorality that's going on that Paul said, I don't even see that outside the walls of the church and never heard of it on the inside walls of the church. And so Paul, as he's winding that down, notice what he does. If you look there in verses 10 through 12, he says, hey, if I can, I'm going to get Timothy and I'm going to get Apollos. We're going to get them there and they're going to help a little bit, but you better treat them right now. Timothy's young, but he's my boy and he better not come to me telling you he's mean to him. And then if you look in between verses 14 through 17, Paul talks about Stephanus, Fortunatus, and Achaeus, and there may be one or two there. But I want you to notice what's neat is because, man, if you read it, there's a lot of stuff, there's a lot of bad things going on there. And while he's wrapping it up, what does he focus on? He says, all right, men, you got to step up. I've got some that's coming in, and Lord willing, you've already got some good that's established there. But it's time for us to get serious. And can I say this about the men's monthly breakfast? I am so thankful for all of you that's coming. We've seen it grow from about 4 or 5 to now that we're working about 15, or feeding. We did work them last time, though, but we needed it. Them cabinets was put into that computer room, they was meant to last, buddy. They was drilled into the wall. But that is growth. And I thank God that we have good men. Thank God for the women. Praise God, most churches in America wouldn't be open today if it had not been for godly women that were committed and working. But praise God, there's a thing today that somehow men in America believe that going to church and serving God and being faithful to Him is a crutch, is a weakness. Can I tell you one of the most difficult things to do in America right now? Stand up and say, I will be faithful to Jesus. Stand up and say, I'll have my family in the house of God. I'll stand on the truth of God's Word because no one loves me like Jesus has loved me. Oh, you think it's a crutch? Try it. Try it. Be outspoken with it. Don't just shove it under your plate with a prayer. Be bold about it and see just how easy it is to live for Jesus. But even in the church house. Now, here again, we've got some good men, great men, godly men. But for some reason in quote-unquote Bible Belt Baptist Church in America, men don't want to sing. They'll sit there and they'll keep their mouth shut. Praise God, we are made in His image. We look like Him. He loves us. Hey, think about this. He even gave angels free will, didn't He? He gave angels free will, but He didn't die for them. He died for me. He's died for me. And so it is my privilege to serve Him. Listen, he goes on. He says, I'm sending you men. I'm sending you mentors. I'm sending you mediators and manly role models so that the First Baptist Church of Corinth can be all that God has called it to be. Again, watch ye. Stand fast in faith. Quit you like men. Be strong. Now, remember we went over to the 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 9? That phrase, quit ye like men, or quit you like men, is the only two places it's found in all of the Bible. And listen what it says. Now here is the Philistines going to fight the Hebrews. And they know that the Hebrews have the Ark of the Covenant, and they've got God on their side, and they are shaking in their boots. Well, they didn't know, them nor the Hebrews didn't realize God wasn't there for them that day. But listen, this military leader looks over at the Philistines who are about to fight the Hebrews and fight the God of the Hebrews. And in chapter 4, verse 8, woe unto us. Who's going to deliver us out of the hands of these mighty gods? Notice, they're not worried about the men. He's worried about the gods. These are the gods that smote the Egyptians with all their plagues in the wilderness. But be strong. Quit yourselves like men, O you Philistines, that ye be not servants unto the Hebrews as they have been unto you. Quit yourselves like men and fight. Quit yourselves like men and fight. In fact, the whole theme of this message, men, this morning, daddies, granddaddies, husbands, quit yourselves like men and fight. Now notice, verse 9 begins, be strong and quit yourself like men. Then it ends, quit yourselves like men and fight. Now the ESV puts it this way. Take courage and be a man. NIV, be strong, Philistines, be a man and fight. The Christian Standard says, show some courage and be men, Philistines, be a man, fight. In the Old Testament, that word quit, you know it's not the way we use it now. It's clear that it doesn't mean stop, you know, just freeze self in place. No, what it means is this, in the Old Testament, the word is H-A-Y-A-H. Hey, yah is the closest thing. I know it might not sound like I'm saying it right, but that's what it looks like. And what it means to come to pass, to act out, to appear to be, or to become. Listen, to act out, to come to pass, to be, or appear to be, to become. So when the Philistine leader says to his men, quit yourselves like men, he says, act like a man. Appear to be a man. Become a man and fight. Don't talk telling me how scared you are. Don't tell me how great their God is. Don't talk yourself into a defeat. Just be the man and go out there and engage. That's what he's saying. And the same is true in the New Testament. As Paul's wrapping up this letter, in the New Testament, the word quit there, I ain't even going to try to say this, or I'm going to spell it. I might try to say it. What the heck? It says, it's quit, but it's A-N-D-R-I-Z-O, Rizzo, M-A-I, Maya. So it's Andrizomaya, Andrizomaya. Quit yourselves like men, or conduct oneself in a courageous way. Be courageous. Be manly. So Paul, he's telling these men, he's saying, hey, be watchful. Stand firm and act like a man by showing courage. Act like a man. Become a man. Display your manlyhood in the courage that you express. Now, going back to the original situations, again, like he's going into a fight. He don't want to hear these men, the Philistine over there in 1 Samuel, he doesn't want to hear them talk about how weak they are and how great. He wants to hear them say, okay, I've prepared for this day. And nothing's certain, but I'm going to give it everything I can. And if nothing else, they can't say that I didn't do the best I could as the man that I am. Now, in the New Testament, it's a little bit different. Paul is looking at this church situation. Remember, they were in one of the most secular centers of the world. I mean, this was like New York. I mean, it was trade and all that. Different gods, different goddesses, different churches down the road, all that. Whatever you wanted to worship. I mean, there was even quote-unquote temple prostitution going on there. I mean, you could have got adultery and infidelity in your religion if you wanted to. And so Paul's looking at this and he sees how the culture is influencing the First Baptist Church of Corinth. And he basically says, you need some support. I'm going to try, but there's nothing lacking there for you to be everything. But it's going to take you men to act like a man, show some courage, and fight. Little did I know back in 2017 or 2016, the first time that God introduced this to me, where we would be at today in America. I mean, listen, did you think in 2017 that by 2023 we could not define male and female? So how can in 10 years from now, how's a man going to be able to stand up in the pulpit and say, thus saith the Lord, act like a man if we don't even know how to define it? You see the need for men and women to be men and women? Listen at this definition. This is the Oxford definition of woman. An adult male human who identifies as a female, who at birth may have been said to have a different sex. Where's XX? You know what I mean? What did we hear all through COVID? Trust the science. Trust the science. But now, science don't matter. You know what a female is? Relating to a woman. How about a male? A male is a man is an adult male human who lives and identifies as a male who at birth may have been said to have a different sex. Folks, if we don't stand up now, what will it be in 10 years? When March, as the National Women's Month, that we celebrate women, at least two or three chose a transgender, an XY, born XY, male, to represent a woman. So God is calling me, men, and He's calling us in a time of pretending. It's time to quit. It's time to become and to be God's men. And I believe there's four ways in this passage, these two verses, that Paul is telling these men here at Corinth, just do these things. Be these things, fight, and be the man God has called you to be. The first one is simple. It says, watch ye. Watch. Or there's a call to watch. It is a call for men to watch. Jeremiah goes deep into the idea of the watchman on the wall. But what does it mean to be a watchman or to watch? Gregorio is the word in the Greek, and it means to be alert, be vigilant, be watching, be looking, because you don't know what might be out there. It might just be a little shine or a little flicker. But praise God, you're the ones watching. We're the ones watching. God has called us men to be the protectors. He's called us to be the one. And I know this ain't politically correct. I know, man, there's some toes curling and backsides tightening up. But it is what it is, buddy. The last line of last week, the whole theme was armor of God. Being a warrior. Being prepared to go to battle. Listen, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of your salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication to this end. Keep alert with all perseverance. Keep looking. Keep watching. Keep seeing. Now I'm going to tell you what. I thought I was looking. But I didn't see some of the things that's coming right now, buddy. I didn't see how much drastic change came in less than 5 years. The eye, that we be watchful, we need to be looking. What happens if we are looking? Well, the first thing is that we become aware. If we see something and we're looking, that means that something's up and we're no longer unmindful of it. We're no longer in the dark about it. We talked about it last week. If you don't know there's a fight, then you're not going to fight. If you don't know the enemy's going to attack, then you're going to not protect yourself. You see, what did I tell you about old G.I. Joe? It says, now you know, and knowing is half the battle. Being able to at least say, I see it coming, Lord. At least I see it coming. And then what happens if I become aware? If I'm being faithful or you're being faithful to keep looking, then what do? We sound the alarm. We let our other brothers know. We let our other sister know. Hey, I don't like what I'm seeing over there. It may be nothing, but why don't you take a look with me? Why don't you see what's happening? And then if we make them aware and we're watching, what happens then? Well, we can see how many's coming. We can see what kind of weapons they toting. We can see the speed that they're moving at you. See, hey, okay. Now we can have a battle plan, remember? That's what we talked about. Having a battle plan. Don't just go in there swinging. You ever tried to box somebody and you didn't know how to box? Man, that first round lasted like 5 minutes. It was only like two, but man, you go in there just swinging, giving it everything you got, and by 15, 20 seconds into it, you wore out. Why? Because you was unaware of the task at hand. But we're ready to fight. We can know this weapon will be beneficial, but not this one. You know what? We may not even have to fight. We might can talk. We might can come to an understanding, and this might be a benefit here instead of a battle. You see, all through the Gospels and through all the Bible, one of the key things that Christ teaches and the whole Bible teaches is what? Be looking. Be watching. Be expecting. Specifically to us believers, because it tells us this, we're not drunk. In 1 Thessalonians, you remember the promise that the dead in Christ shall rise and the trump of God shall sound and we'll be caught up together with them in the air. Goes immediately on to saying this, but you're not drunk. And you're not children of the night. So there's no reason for you to be taken by surprise. Even the parables of Jesus, Matthew chapter 24, beginning in verse 42. Therefore stay awake, for you do not know what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you always must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you don't expect it. And so, as we're living in the time of pretend, men, it's time for us to act like men and be watchful. The next thing is this, it's time for us to stand fast in the faith, or a call to be firmly fixed in Jesus. Now, how many have heard of the Battle of Bunker Hill? 1776 in Boston. How about Gettysburg? Bull Run? Civil War? How about the Solomon Islands campaign of World War II? You know what that was? That was called the island hopping. They land on an island, do what they took, run the enemy out, take it over, and then boom, going to go to another, go to another. And even Hamburger Hill. They made a movie out of that one, didn't they? You see, I never thought of it like this, but in battle, in war, usually the winner does what? Gains the most land. They engage, this army engages with that army, they're fighting for a piece of property, and one side or the other grab hold of that property. And then they go a little further, more property. Further, a little more property. You see, that's the idea. To stand fast. Once you get it, it ain't over. You got to keep it. And that's what we're being called to as men. That we're to stand where we are. The amazing thing that stood out to me that I never thought about as we studied this week is in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. It says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. Stand. It didn't say progress. He simply said stand. And then in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 13 and 14, therefore take up the whole armor of God and that you may be able to stand, withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, then stand. I mean, three or four times the command is stand, stand, stand. So what does the word stand mean? It means to hold your ground. Don't give it up. What are we seeing right now? I think we're seeing in America, we're seeing people backing up in their relationship with Christ Jesus, backing up in their convictions to His Word, backing up instead of standing. And men, how about us, Daddy? What about me? Now, I'm going to say this. I've told you, God is making me look at some things in my life that I thought maybe were convictions that maybe weren't biblical, but I tried to use Scripture to make them right. But praise God, sin's always going to be sin. And we need to stand and hold those ground. And here's what I was thinking about this. Jesus, it says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, in the strength of His capabilities. Everything that I have spiritually, I did nothing to gain that ground. Nothing. Everything that I have, He's already fought it and then He stood me on it. So all He's asking me to do is stand. And you know what? Every day He's fighting. Every day He's taking me further and He's placing me further and He's putting me higher. And all I have been called to do is to stand. And here's how I stand. I have confidence. I am firmly fixed, not in me, not in this church. I have confidence in Jesus because everything He's ever said He's to do, He's done it up to this point. And that's what He says, son, I'm going to put you here. What does it say? That if we humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord and if we resist the devil, what will He do? He'll lift us up. He'll cause us to sit in heavenly places. Praise God. I mean, you can ask the deacons. I'm telling them that I believe we're in a place like over in Acts when the Gentiles came a part of the church, and you see that the Jews and the Gentiles had to learn how to worship and be together, and it got a little weird there, you know, because they didn't know how to, but it was good problems because they were growing, and it was new troubles that they had never had to deal with before. I think that's where we're at. I think that's what we're trying to figure it out. But holding course is a little bit more of a battle than what I thought it would be. So, because our strength is unable to win, because we can't conquer or gain any ground, all we've got to focus on is confidence in Jesus. Trusting Jesus. Doing what Jesus tells us to do. Put that armor on. Pray. Do whatever He says. And make it as simple as you have to. If that means verbally putting on every piece every day, I do it. And you say, well, we understand why you do it, but we're not you. But hey, if it was, what did they say to Laban when he was told to go dip down into the Jordan? Oh, if it had been the Euphrates, you would have had no problem with it. Why not just try it? Hey, I know we all want to be more victorious. So, in a time of pretending, we need to act like a man and be watchful. In a time of pretending, we need to act like a man, and we need to be firmly fixed in Christ Jesus. The next one is this. In a time of pretending, quit you like men and be strong. Now, we talked about how that quit you like men means to act like a man. But if you go back there to 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 9, he says, be strong, quit yourselves, act like men. O you Philistines, don't be servants to the Hebrews as they have been to you. Quit yourselves like men and fight. You remember how the English Standard says, take courage, be a man. The NIV says, be strong, Philistines, be a man, fight. And the Christian Standard says, show some courage, be a man, Philistines, and fight. Now see, yes, it means to act like a man, but if you want to take it to deeper, it means it's time to be courageous. It's going to take some courage, boys. It's going to take you doing some things that might make you feel uncomfortable. Might make you feel vulnerable. But if we're going to win, that's what it's going to take. You see, He's not calling for just courage. He's calling for a special courage. He's calling for courage in the face of fear. Courage in the face of doubt. Courage in the face of emptiness. Now, all of us can understand courage when it comes to defending our home, defending our land, defending our way of life. But Paul is not talking about that. Paul is talking about what we would say Paul is talking about, where you got to fight for the church. You got to fight for what we believe in. But it goes a little deeper than that. He's saying you got to fight for the souls of the people around you. You gotta put some courage in your life so that your sons, your daughters, your friends, your family, so they don't die and go to hell on your watch. Think about it. We cut off conversations with the ones we love the most just because we don't want them or us to be uncomfortable. The greater need today is for us to be more concerned about a soul than it is about our comfort. And again, I know I fail in a lot of places. And it takes courage. It takes courage to say something when you know you're probably going to upset somebody. But do those people know you love them? I mean, they could think you're crazy as a brickbat. But they know you love them. They may be mad, but they know your heart. You see, when he's calling these men to act like men, he's not just saying act like any man. He's saying, I need you to act like the Son of Man. Jesus is the most courageous figure of anyone. You say, well, what about this guy? What about that guy? I don't know. But what I do know is this. Nelson Mandela said this. I have learned that courage is not the absence of fear, but the triumph over it. The man who does not out of fear is not brave, but the man who acts in spite of fear has conquered fear and is brave. Jesus is the example of courage that every man should look up to. Was Christ fearful as he faced the cross that night when he left? Listen to what he prayed over in Matthew chapter 26, verse 38. My soul is very sorrowful, even unto death. Remain here with me, boys. And what? Watch. Watch. Sorrowful, the word means overwhelmed with sadness, grief, or distress. So whatever you want to call sorrowful, with Jesus there in the garden, sorrow, grief, distress, fear, dread. The reality was that what the situation he was in was making him distressed emotionally. And have you ever been in a place where you get distressed emotionally? Do you run to the thing that's causing you distress, or do you run away from the thing that's causing you distress? I don't know about you, but my first thought is go the other way of where it ain't. Right? But what did Jesus do? Went to it. I mean, it's expressed in some of our great military, in some of those that suffer, for us to be able to have it. I couldn't help but think of this thought. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured, meaning that he resisted or held ground to the cross, despised the shame, meaning that he showed contempt for everybody else's opinion that would have been against him, and is seated now at the right hand of God. He's in the place of authority at the right hand of God. And I was just there, and I was thinking about that early. It wasn't even daylight this morning. And then, you know what hit me? That's a sign of toxic masculinity right there. That would be labeled as toxic masculinity today. Why? Well, his need for control, right? He had to control. You don't take my life. I lay it down, and I'm going to pick it back up in 3 days. That's toxic. What about the need to be dominant or superior in relationship? Alpha, Omega, beginning and the end. Lord, Savior. I mean, come on now. How about that he readily affirms God's assigned agenda? Everyone's made in the image of God, but everybody's got a calling and a purpose. And a lot of that is found in our God-given gender. And then the exaggerant of his self-worth. Who is Jesus to think he should sit on the throne, right? You see, try to live for Jesus. Try to stand on what Jesus stands upon. Also, he took unneeded risk, right? He didn't have to go to the cross. He willingly went to the cross. He didn't have to go and have arguments with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He didn't have to go in town and make them mad. He was asking for it. Oh, you remember he said he was older than Moses. Abraham rejoiced to see him. He called out powerful religious and political figures. I mean, Jesus is awesome. This is the bottom line. And then, now, read this again. Looking unto Jesus. He's our model, man. That's the one. That's the one. Not just be a man, but act like the Son of Man. Model ourselves after the Son of Man. The founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, not what he was getting then, not that he was going to have satisfaction in the moment, but he knew down the line it's going to matter. And so he held his ground. And he looked with contempt on everyone who didn't believe him, who didn't love him, or thought he was doing it the wrong way. And now, because of that, his obedience to the Father, he is seated on the throne with all the authority. Oh, but all that Jesus did was not for himself. See, that's the thing. That's where we can push that toxic masculinity aside. He did it for the glory of his Father. And he did it for the love of his life. Humanity. Humanity. And then the last thing is this. Let everything that you do be done out of charity. Let love be the motivation. Let love be the motivation. Now, he says, quit you like men. Be strong. Act like a man. Be courageous. Be watchful. Be loving. Now, that word charity there, it is agape, A-G-A-P-E, a strong and affectionate love built from based on a relationship. And it's the love has led to a covenant relationship. That means a contract, a pledge, or a binding agreement. Now, I want you to think about this. Remember, we said that Jesus didn't do all this. He wasn't the Son of Man, the model. He didn't do it all that so that he'd get the pat on the back. Agape is taking the burden so another can be blessed, loving them so much. Listen, do you feed your children every time because you just have this overwhelming joy to see them eat? Now, I do a lot of time, and that's why I like to cook, but there's sometimes I'm like, can't you just go to McDonald's, man? Can't you just go to, I'll give you the debit card. Just go. Just do it. How about do you wash their clothes and fold their clothes because there's just something about being able to go through their dirty laundry and smell that nastiness that just makes me take a bit. No. You know why you do it? Most of us do it. Because we figure it's in the contract, right? Yeah, that's kind of, I got them. They mine. So until 16? No, now they're saying 26, they can be on your insurance, right? But anyway, we do it because that's what we do. That's the relationship. It's not emotionally based. It's not based on the tingly feelings. It's based on the love that I have for them. And because of that love, I've made a commitment to them. And I'm going to do it whether it's nasty or not. Or I'm going to make their mama do it whether it's nasty or not. Listen. Why does the Father love me? Why is the Father going to let me into His kingdom, into His neighborhood when I get there? Is it going to be because I'm so awesome? No, listen. Listen to what it says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 3. Share in suffering as a good soldier. No, that ain't the one. Hold on. Let me give you this one. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another. Listen. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgives you. You know why the Father even acknowledges me? Because His Son died for me. And His Son loves me. And His Son has made an agreement with me. And because the Father loves His Son, you remember when the Father, He pleased the Father. He did everything to the glory of the Father. He honored His Father. And because He was faithful in that covenant, His Father is faithful in this covenant. And when He sees me, He doesn't see me. He does not see me. Who does He see? He sees His Son. He sees that love He has for His Son. He sees that commitment He has for His Son. And because of His Son, He loves me as His Son. You see, I am His Son. That's what it says in John, that I have been given the privilege of being called the Son of God. And all of that's because of Jesus. Because Jesus acted like a man. And He stepped up and He did what was needed at that time. And you see, that's where we're at today, folks. Is America going to come back? In Jesus' name, yes. God's going to get the right people in the right positions. And we're going to see some of the most prideful national figures, I believe, is going to come to Jesus. What would that do? What would that do right now over America if that began to happen? But we can't depend on that. We've got to be willing to say, for such a time as this. And I may not like what I see going on, and it may not be no fun. But do we believe the Word? That's the question. Do we believe the Word? Because He says, if we do this, we do that, guess what? I'll bless it. Can't help it. I promise to bless it. Now, I want to close with kindly what I began with. There's a big myth that serving Jesus, making Him your Lord and Him your Savior, is a weakness. Is a weakness. But yet, what we see in Jesus is a willingness to go against what is popular. Let me ask you this. If it's popular, does that mean it's right? If it's popular, does that mean it's easy? If it's popular, does that mean that everybody's going to be happy when you stand up in it? No. But is it still right? And that's what we have to ask ourselves, daddy, husband, granddaddy, son. And so today, here's the call. And we're not going to have piano. We're going to have time of prayer. If you want to come and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, praise God, I'd love to show you. Maybe you need to come and rededicate. Maybe you need to just, as a daddy, get along with your wife and pull her down or right where you're at and say, hey, I'm going to do my best.